Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are going to talk about books this hour with Daniel Golden, one of our wonderful book friends who's owner of a terrific bookstore in Milwaukee. It's an independent bookstore, and he is doing so much to enlighten people in terms of the books that are in the shop and also the people he brings in, like our guest yesterday. We're going to start the show with that, who will be at Boswell tomorrow. It's just a vital, vital, wonderful bookstore to have in our community because of the outreach they do as well. We're going to be talking. We asked Daniel, and he found this very difficult, and so did I. If you had five books that you had to recommend to somebody to read right now while you're alive, while they can make a difference in your life, what would they be? And so that's the question of the hour. That's a great question, don't you think? I think it is. So we're going to be talking about those books you should be reading that will make a huge difference in your life. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Daniel at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. But I want to start, Daniel, because I know you have Michio Kaku, The Future of the Mind, with you tomorrow, and we just had the best time with him yesterday afternoon. I was just imagining the future, and I couldn't believe what the future might be like 50 years from now from talking to this guy.
It's pretty amazing what the book his imagination and yes. And it's real, and it's not his imagination, it's based on real research, but he's able to take it through his mind and make it something truly amazing. He's been certainly wowing people for a while, but it's interesting because between the last book and this book, there's been a huge increase in people knowing about him. I especially after your show yesterday, so many people coming in, emailing.
Were they? Good.
Oh, yes.
So you're going to have I hope you have a crowd because he's worth listening to.
I think so. I mean, we actually feel like we're going to probably hit capacity. So we've been telling people to come an hour early. We're doing line letters. I've been talking to the publicist because he didn't come to Milwaukee for his last book. But he did Chicago. He had a few hundred people, but he used to come to Milwaukee quite a bit. But we've been discussing like what happens if we have, you know, we have pretty good rules for if we hit too many people. We have line letters we give out. When we get the last one, we close the store for a while until the line starts.
Right.
You know, he has a wonderful presentation. And
yes,
as like, okay, how do we get these hundreds of people sitting down to make sure they can all see the slides? But he's mesmerizing.
Yes.
So exciting. And we're very – everybody's just saying, what a coup. What a coup. And yeah, I mean, we're very grateful to Dr. Kaku and to Pantheon for helping it happen. But what I was saying is like people ask us how we get these things, and you just have to do a really
great job.
You work
very hard at it. Yeah. I know you do. And you must have a stellar reputation too nationally so that people make sure that this is on their stop.
It's true. And some of these tours are pretty small nowadays. A lot of publishers are struggling with whether to send people out, maybe just do social networking, maybe just do Skype events, mm-hmm. which a lot of people are offering to us, video events, video conferencing. We've been discussing that with publishers, but right now we have a pretty packed schedule of people actually coming in. We obviously do a lot of things with Wisconsinites and Milwaukeeans. When I was mentioning our upcoming events, a lot of people had local ties. So, for example, Lori Moore has a very small tour for the new story collection Bark, which is also out today. And but she's coming back because she has her son still in Madison, and she's coming back to do Madison and Milwaukee. And we're one of – I don't know. It was – when I looked at the calendar, it was certainly less than 10 cities, and maybe 20 years ago an event like that might have had a 20-city tour, 15-city tour. Mm. You're just not seeing that as much.
Yeah. And if Michio Kaku couldn't get any interesting – more interesting, I read a piece, I don't know if you saw this in the Times some weeks ago, that he and his wife, I love this about them, do figure skate dancing in Central Park. He wears a tuxedo. She wears a beautiful dress. And he's just such a dramatic-looking guy. I think, oh, you do ice dancing, too. Oh. What else can you do?
Some people just have all the talent.
Ain't it the truth?
I'm imagining him, like, at the Olympics in Sochi with the – I watched the ice dancing the last day, the just the – and I'm seeing him with – maybe flags or
anything. I know. I am too. Well, congratulations on doing that. All right, sir. I asked you a very difficult task. It was hard for me too, and I have many books that have been influential. But you know, as I was thinking about important books, there are some books you read when you're a young person, I think, that really do influence the direction you're going in your life. I found that some of these books, they were read when I was quite a bit younger. Of course, I'm pretty old now. But they were books that really made a difference in how I saw the world and what I wanted my place to be in the world.
That I would say that's true. And it's interesting to go back to them later and they read very differently to you, don't they? So when you were doing the list, it was everything. You had read everything on the list already that you put on the list. It's like if somebody should read it right now. So then it becomes much harder for me because I feel like sometimes I read a lot and obviously I have to read a lot.
Right.
But I don't often think to myself, there's a lot of books I think that are really great, but I – you know, we're talking about transcendence here.
Yes.
No, I know we are, Daniel. Yeah, I know. And I'm just not transcendent enough sometimes. So I'm much more interested in your books and I'm thinking, okay, surely there are some books that I have read that are, you know, in some areas. And I was trying to think of one of mine, and probably because I was so obsessed with urban planning for so long, I was actually going to quit being a bookseller to go to urban planning school when I
was
younger.
I didn't know that. Really?
And I thought, and every year I would just put it off, and a couple of my other friends did it, and then they got into not transcendent jobs, but more like paper pushing kind of jobs. The actual nuts and bolts of the business can be, if you're not a superstar, much more numbers oriented. You wind up working for the state or something like that and working on studies. Another friend of mine moved around to engineering companies. And then after several years of that, I was like, But I did really still think about Jane Jacobs' Death and Life of Great American Cities. And I would say, okay, there's a book that stood the test of time, but I know then if I went back to it, I'd be a little sad because she was so frustrated with the development of New York that she moved to Toronto. Toronto, the amazing, perfect city, and now Toronto faces many of the same challenges that New York does. It's, you know, struggling in terms of trying to give a neighborhood feel. It's, you know, bookstores closing left and right because of rent costs. And, it's still a really great place. Like, New York is a really great place, but much like, you know, much of the dynamism in terms of what makes a city interesting in Manhattan has moved to, say, Brooklyn or Jersey City or maybe even the Bronx. I think from what I've heard, I haven't been back for a while, you know, that she would probably not be thrilled with because of development pressures.
Right.
You know,
well, they could also use a more sophisticated mayor.
Oh, yes, you know, that's
well, that's kind of a laughing stock.
Well, and that's actually due to one of the reasons he was able to get in office is because of the they did what is the equivalent, I don't have the exact terms right, of city-county merger. And so there were different interests at odds and, you know, against each other. And that probably would not have happened in the old Toronto.
So are you putting this on your list or not?
I think I should. Yes.
All right. Though Death and Life of Great American Cities. Go ahead. It's okay.
I have to reread them all now, don't I?
No, you don't.
By next week?
No, you don't. These are books that were influential in your life. It's okay.
Okay. Yes,
who's
I'll
the
do
author?
Jane Jacobs.
Jane Jacobs.
Yeah, I would say still. Okay. Okay. Because in spirit, I still believe everything she says. Just in practice, some of the cities haven't worked out as well.
All right. And we're going to go to phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. Daniel Golden is our guest this hour. We're talking about books that would be very good for you to read while you're alive, books that have been meaningful. I guess you could use the phrase transcendent, even though it's a big phrase. It's a big thing to say. But they are to us. To us, they're transcendent. And maybe they will be to you. So what are they to you? What transcendent books? What do you need to read while you're kicking? 800-486-8655 is our number. Let's go to Benjamin first in Milwaukee. Hi, Benjamin.
Hi. Great show. I love the topic. You were saying how, like, the five books you have to read. I really had to rack my brain to bring it down to only five.
Yeah, me too.
So the first book I ever read that really, I mean, it sounds cliche, but really changed the way I looked at the world. And it's kind of embarrassing because I don't exactly remember the author. I believe it's Piers Anthony. And the book is Modern Day Job, A Comedy of Injustice.
Oh.
And it's such a good book because it's kind of like a slipping between universes and like parallel universes and does a lot of parallel theology and all of that. And it's such a great read. And it really changed the way I looked at the universe.
I'm sorry, it's modern day Job, comedy of what?
Injustice.
Okay.
Another really good book is called Sex on the Moon. I don't remember the author of that either, but it's the true story of an undergraduate who worked for NASA and ended up stealing moon rocks and got caught trying to sell those moon rocks.
Ah. Oh, that sounds fascinating.
And that was a fascinating. And the last one I'll mention is called Dishwasher Pete, an autobiography about a young man who went on his life's journey to wash dishes in all 50 states.
Oh, I love... What's the name? I got to read that one. That sounds wonderful.
That one's called Dishwasher Pete.
Dishwasher Pete. Terrific. Thank you, Benjamin. Thanks. Don't worry, we're going to continue all of this. Daniel will be with us for the hour, and we'll be taking your phone calls in and out of this hour. The most important books in your life, those you think other people would enjoy, is what we're discussing with Daniel this hour of our show. 800-486-8655 is our number. Our Facebook page, too, a couple things on Facebook. You can write the books on Facebook, too, because there it is. That's why I love Facebook. You can share ideas. And we also are going to post a picture... Now, Daniel and KP are wearing the same colors today, and they're unusual colors, so we took a picture. You've got to see both of them. I have a pair of pants that color, too, which I wish I had worn today, but I didn't. So go to Facebook and look at their picture. It's the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and this is also, in addition to talking about great books, which I love doing, this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Winter Membership Drive. John Munson joining me in our studios at WPR. I don't know if you know this, but listener contributions are the single largest source of funding. So your gift right now keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. Make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, you know, Kathleen, we need some kind of trumpet flourish sounder. Yeah, because last hour, man, last hour we totally killed it.
Did we?
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks, everybody.
We killed it. We had a great hour last hour. Now, here's the thing, Sisyphus. Your reward for having such a great hour is you get to roll that rock back to the top of the hill again. We need to get 20 more pledges this hour. So an epic hour last year. We had, our goal was 30.
Holy.
We got 50.
We got 50 pledges
right.
last hour.
Yeah.
That's
so,
fabulous.
Well, we need 20 more
Yay.
This hour. So help us
Thank
meet
you,
that
everybody.
Goal by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It's your show. Go ahead and speak.
No, you can speak too.
No, it's okay.
All right.
I forgot what it was.
It's all right. Well, you know we're passionate.
I haven't done enough crossword puzzles or something. My brain is dead.
Well, just have some chocolate. We're passionate about bringing you these 2 hours of radio from 1 until 3. We take our jobs really seriously, and I think you can tell we love what we do. I've been in this business for years and years and years. It's obvious I love what I do. KP does as well. John does. Daniel does. Books, history, politics, social issues, education, the future. We're here for you with important topics every day.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter how much we love it. It doesn't happen unless you support it. Listener contributions make up more than 40% of our budget. That's a lot. It's the single biggest piece. And that's why we're asking for your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support our programs. And we have something special to give to you right now. We talk about books. As you know, public radio keeps books alive. I don't know if it weren't for public radio, where would we have these marvelous conversations with authors? So we decided that for everybody who pledges this hour, we're going to give you a list of books to read while you are on this earth, books that, as Daniel said, maybe are transcendent, books that are important. They'll be comprised by Boswell Books. Daniel is having a hard time with it because, well, you can understand why. He reads all the time, and he doesn't want to come up with five. I didn't either, but I did it, so you can do it, Daniel. And my five suggestions, also some of the staff of Boswell. I've asked KP, who's given it serious thought, and we're going to ask John, who at the end of this hour will tell us his most
transcendent
book.
You only gave me one.
I'm sorry. Do you want more than one?
Well, I mean, one was hard. I did it. So
you did.
I'm just going to whine about it for the rest of the day.
Don't whine. But at any rate, if you pledge any amount, we're going to give you the list. And it might change your life. So pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I'm John Munson with Kathleen Dunn, and we're asking for your support of WPR during our winter membership drive. So maybe your gift is $10 a month, maybe it's $20 a month. Well, that really doesn't matter. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount, as long as you choose it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving money to something that you believe in, really believe in, a service you rely on, is a great way to commemorate a new phase of your life. We encourage you. You decide the amount. $5 a month is an example of what many first-time donors give. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, you know, one of the great things about radio and working in it as long as we have, I think, Kathleen, we've known this since early on, but radio is such a great companion.
Yes, it is.
It complements anything else you're doing. Whether you want to sit on the couch and just listen, well, you can do that.
But you don't have to, unlike TV or even reading. You can drive, of course, while listening to
radio. Wait a minute. You can't read and drive?
No, you shouldn't do that, John. Have you tried that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, glad. I'm glad.
I'm sorry. I had the irony font on again. I apologize.
Okay. No, I got it. I got it. I was trying to be funny.
I know you were.
Yeah. At any rate, you can clean the house.
Don't drive while reading. Thank you.
You can. Maybe I should clean the house at some point and listen to the radio at the same time. Whatever.
Well, radio is great. It doesn't drain your energy. It adds to and enriches anything else you're doing. And Wisconsin Public Radio is even better because it's listener-supported. That's one of the things that's
right.
So cool about this.
Right.
Your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 helps keep it all going.
A pledge is a promise, and we pledge to bring you great shows every day. You pledge to support them with a contribution in any amount. Every amount this hour, we're going to send you a list of books that you should read while you are alive.
And, you know, when you help pay the cost of the station, here's our commitment to you. We'll make sure there's something interesting for you to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
That's our pledge. Now, go make yours. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And ask for a list of books to read while on this earth, compiled by Boswell Books, Daniel Golden, Kathleen Dunn, John Munson will have one, KP will have one, with your pledge of any amount. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kathleen, we're looking for 21 more pledges.
All right, let's go, everybody.
Sometime before 3 o'clock this afternoon, so your gift right now could be one of them at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Support the programs you count on.
Thank you, John Munson. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Daniel Golden is our guest, owner of independent bookstore Boswell Books, and we're talking about books that will make a huge difference in your life. You know what I put number one, and I read a little bit more of it yesterday, and this may sound kind of corny, except that this book I've read every now and then. It's Charlotte's Web by E.B. White. After all, what's a life anyway? We're born, we live a little while, and we die. And the book always makes me cry, and it's about friendship. I love what he says. It's true that it's not often someone comes along who is a true friend and a good writer. I love that. And Wilbur and Charlotte, I love their relationship, and E.B. White is a fine writer, and I have always loved that book, and I will always love that book.
I think everybody has to have not everybody, people can do whatever they want, I guess. But I would say a lot of people would put some kids' book on
yes.
the list.
Yes.
I mean, it is a formative thing for you, and it, you know, and every person has a different book they come back to.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one. So
what
on
is
my
it?
List.
What is it?
It's less well known than Charlotte's Web.
Good, that's better.
But it's not. It's in print, and it actually sells better now than it did when I first started as a bookseller. It's a book called Half Magic by Edward Eger.
Half Magic.
Right. And he wrote 7 kids' books and then died. And I always thought to myself, I would say ... mysteriously when I was a child, because the books are about they're about everyday kids who kind of stumble into magical situations. And the themes of the book are pretty similar. You know, that magic like life has rules, and sometimes you break the rules. You have to figure out what the rules are and try to make the best of them. And a lot of the rule, you know, a lot of the thing is about helping people. And this is about 4 kids in the 1920s whose father has passed away. As you know, loss of parent is very important in children's books, and find a nickel on the sidewalk. But it turns out it is not a nickel. It's very scuffed up, so they don't know exactly what it is, but it's actually an ancient coin.
Oh.
And it grants wishes. The problem is it only gives you half of whatever you wish for. So if you don't do it right, your wishes generally go terribly wrong. And one of the things you learn is that when you make wishes in very passionate moments, you will not wish right. And so the kids, there's a lot of historical, they go back in history, they go on, they do all sorts of things. There's 3 sequels to the book. And then there's another book in the series where a bunch of kids, one of the things that happens to them, it's a book called 7-Day Magic, where the book is about going inside of other books. And one of the books they go into is in Edward Eger's original book. And you find out what happened afterwards.
Oh, Daniel, that sounds wonderful. I don't know about those at all.
They were written in the 50s. My sisters, who are 10 years older than me, also had read them when I was like 14 or 15. Most of the old line publishers had their own bookstores. And often, but not always, they only sold the books for that publisher. Mm-hmm. And so when I was a teenager, I had been taking the books out of the library over and over again. And when I was a teenager, I went into Manhattan, because I grew up in New York, and went to the Harcourt Brace bookstore and bought the 7 hardcovers, which I still have to this day. So it is a pretty important book to me. And I feel like it's, you know, everybody's got a different kind of book that touches them. One of the weird things was that after the Harry Potter phenomenon, they became on the short list of what to read after Harry Potter.
Really?
They're much simpler books. Uh-huh. They're not as, especially they're more like the early Potter books. But there's that sense of friendship in mm-hmm. the books. And there's obviously a sense of magic. So that's definitely
Thank
would
you.
Be on my list.
Thanks for that. Mm. Thanks for that. Let's go to Rick in Madison. Hi, Rick.
Hi. Actually, I'm one of the co-founders of Little Free Libraries, and I have to tell you, I'm such a fan of Boswell's and of your show. And here's why. I love books. And one of the first books we were able to give in a Little Free Library was a one that my mother gave me, 1958, just, you know, to Rick from Mom, Cry the Beloved Country, Alan Payton.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
And I had no idea about apartheid, and I didn't know at the time that you could write like that, that mm-hmm. a book could change you like that. It was amazing. And I'll say my second favorite book is At Play in the Fields of the Lord, Peter Matheson. And fantastic story about missionaries in the jungle in South America. And both of them really changed my life.
Thank you so much, Rick, for calling.
We're very, very excited because Peter Matheson has his first new book in years and years and years. He won the Pulitzer Prize less than 10 years ago, but it was actually for 3 older books that he wrote into one volume. This is a completely new book, so that's something to be excited about.
Yeah,
so,
thank you. Selection. Do people come in when they're looking for books? Are they looking for classics still? Do you still sell classics?
We do sell classics. You know, the business has changed a lot, and a lot of public domain. The interesting thing about public domain is that there's always been price pressure to, you know, you can get them much cheaper because there are no rights involved. The ebook versions of a lot of classics are free often, if not almost free. And so I think the classic business of the traditional publishers has deteriorated a bit. But on the other hand, there's always temptation to repackage them maybe
right.
with fancy cover, you know, graphic novel covers, or there's beautiful hardcover editions from Penguin called The Drop Caps, and each one is stained a different color. And there are half classics, half contemporary novels published by Penguin. So people are still trying, and definitely people are reading them. You know, one of the things that's interesting is that, you know, our new books used to be coming to the public domain every year, but that was cut off. Was that 15 years ago when the copyright laws changed? So everything stops at 1923. Mm. So those, you know, the books that are not in public domain are harder to get and more expensive as ebooks. But definitely people, you know, things go in and out of vogue too.
Right.
You know, right now that book, I'm hoping we see another resurgence in Middlemarch from the book My Life in Middlemarch was a front page review. It was a memoir about Middlemarch,
mm-hmm.
Front page New York Times book review book. A couple of my customers were starting a Middlemarch book club, which I begged to be part of. And they said, it's only two of us. But I said, I don't care.
They wouldn't let you in?
Well,
excuse
they will.
Me, it's Daniel. Open
no,
the door.
They were just implying that it wasn't – if I was thinking there were 30 people reading Middlemarch together, that was not the case.
It's okay. You still need to be a part of the book club. Let's go next to David in New Auburn. Hi, David.
Hi. How are you?
Okay, David. Can you speak up? Can barely hear you, sir.
Just a little bit. I just want to say first, I sure miss you in the mornings, girl. Wow.
Oh, sorry. I like the afternoons, though.
I understand.
Yeah.
I want to say that I had some pretty good education, and I used to read a lot of the classics. At 52, I was sitting in Germany and reading all these spy things that were coming out, and I said, enough. And I started on Dubliners.
Mm.
I made it through Dubliners. There was a possibility of getting a hold of Ulysses with Cliffs-type notes. I read that, and I absolutely have become a raging fan of James Joyce.
All right.
And I just put in an order for a nice copy of Finnegan's Wake.
All right. I never made it through Ulysses, I must say. I have to, and Daniel hasn't either.
Dubliners and Finnegan's Wake, but not Ulysses.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would never have made it through Ulysses without Bloomsbury's notes.
Mm-hmm. So that's
and
a way for us to read it.
Chapter by chapter, and I'd read the synopsis first. Then I'd read Joyce, and then I'd go back and look through the synopsis. I tell you, it was great. You understood it. Like, for instance, this movie that George Clooney made down south about these convicts.
Uh-huh.
It is fantastic. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there laughing my butt off at things that come along in parallel. Ulysses, it's wonderful.
Mm.
And I'm currently also working my way through Pickwick Papers. And it's just, it's worth the effort. It's worth sitting there and learning an old speech. God, I love the classics. I think they have so much to give to us.
Yeah, I'm with you, David. Thank you so much. Maybe this year, Ulysses. What was the book we were supposed to read? Remember, we said on the air one day we were going to read a book, and because you hadn't read it and I hadn't read it. Now we don't even remember what it was.
I put it out of my mind. I wonder if that was on purpose. I did promise. I promised. I think I said I hadn't read Huckleberry Finn last time, and one of my customers gave it to me as a gift, really beautiful edition. And so I promised that I'm going to read. I guess I'm not reading it in January, but I'm March. I'm reading it in March.
Okay. All right. I'll hold you to that.
Next time I'm in, I'll be.
Next time I'll see you, we will talk about Huckleberry Finn. All right. Daniel Golden is our guest this hour. We're talking books, as you can imagine, and we love having him on because he's an avid reader and also because of his contribution to the printed word and to the outreach that he does in our community. He is the owner of Boswell Books in Milwaukee and has people coming in all the time, and it's a terrific bookshop. So he's with us. We asked him to come up with his five favorite books, and we're asking, and I did the same, and John Munson is going to put his favorite, KP will put his favorite, and to everybody who pledges, everybody this hour, no matter how much you're able to give, we hope it's quite a bit, we are going to send you a list of books that you should read while you are alive. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and John Munson is with me in our studios in Milwaukee. This is, in case you didn't know it, the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Listeners like you are an important, important source of WPR's income, and your gift takes just a couple minutes of your time. It keeps this program on the air, so invest in your future listening by donating now at WPR.com. www.wisconsinpublicradio.org or 888-202-2552.
16, that's the magic number, Kathleen. That's how many pledges we need to get in the next 23 minutes or so. Thank you so much if you have already given. And if you haven't, please help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You might wonder what your pledge pays for. We have toll-free numbers. You can call in your questions. We rely on newspapers, magazine subscriptions, internet services so that we can research the topics of the day, and all of those have costs. Your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps pay for them.
Well, and when you make your pledge this hour, a pledge of any amount, you can choose a list of books to read while on this earth, compiled by Boswell Books, Daniel Golden, Kathleen Dunn as your thank you gift for your pledge. Your pledge supports programs like this one, and you'll enjoy the list of must-read books. Make that pledge right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Public radio doesn't mean government-funded radio, and it doesn't mean free radio. Public radio means listener-supported radio.
Well, listener support, and we've said this before, but it bears repeating because that is the heart and soul of education, is repetition, right?
Righto.
Listener support is the single largest source of WPR's operating budget, more than business contributions, more than federal tax dollars, and even more than state tax dollars. Your gift of any amount really matters at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I listen to WPR so that I can hear unbiased news and so I'm able to hear both sides of an issue. I also enjoy getting information on issues that other media does not cover, and I enjoy the variety of programs. I contribute because I hope to be part of the future of WPR and to make sure it's here for future generations.
Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this winter membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn. John Munson is with me, and we're asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, is a great amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, one listener made their donation and said, "We could live without WPR, but we sure wouldn't want to." Maybe you feel the same way, that listening to WPR makes your life better.
Whether it's keeping up with the news, enjoying the laughs that you get from weekend shows, or the fascinating discussions that we have every day, there is always something that's important to listen to.
And because WPR makes your life better, well, help fund it. That's pretty logical, isn't it? Help keep it going. Your pledge of support right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
You've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. You know we'll talk about, like we are this hour, great books in our lives, and we're sending everybody who pledges this hour a list of important books to read in your lifetime. So make the decision to support those kinds of discussions. Make the decision to support WPR financially. It's as simple as that. And pledging is very simple, too. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, time flies. Maybe it's been longer than you realize since you last gave to Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, we're asking you to keep your membership active.
Think of the support of WPR. When you think of other services you rely on, like your telephone or your internet, those bills are huge. Renew your support of WPR right now with an ongoing monthly gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
15, that's how many pledges
we
are looking for in the next 17 minutes or so. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports programs you count on.
And ask for a list of books to read while on this earth, compiled by Boswell Books, Daniel Golden, and me, and John, and K.P. Whaley, with your pledge of or gift of any amount. So pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And hey, if you're already a sustaining member, thank you. And if you're not, well, your chance to become one is right now. It's easy to set up ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathleen.
Thank you. Thanks, John. Thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges and for listening. Daniel Golden is our guest. We're talking about important books to read while you're still alive. We have a lot of Facebook comments, Daniel, so let me...
Ready.
Yeah. Are you ready? You're ready. All right. Mindset by Carol Dweck. Young people need to read it as freshmen. Parents need to read it when children are infants and then as preteens. I don't know that book. Do you?
I do not.
All right.
It's interesting. I'm curious as to whether it is a book about development and, you know, just because that's been very hot. We were just talking that Hannah and I were talking about this morning about Andrew Solomon's Far From the Tree.
That's a great book.
Wonderful book. Mm-hmm. I was just listening to the TED Talk again. The Jennifer Senior book that's been getting a lot of attention, All Joy and No Fun. There's a book called Brainstorm about teenage minds by Daniel Siegel that's been doing really well. So people definitely have... it's something right on the pulse of, she's expecting us to read it for a number of years. And mm-hmm. so we all have to go check that out.
Okay. When Women Were Birds, Terry Tempest Williams, a recent book?
Terry Tempest Williams has been writing for a long time. And I don't know much about it. I mean, I know she's had some wonderful books. And, one thing I wanted to say when you were doing pledge drive. Well, first of all, I'm petrified that we won't get enough pledges and I won't be able to come on again. But
don't worry about that. We're gonna pledge for Daniel, too. Don't make him worry like that. Come on. 888-202-2552.
I wanted to make a pitch for reading while you're driving, too, because one of the things that I have noticed, a change in language. In the past, when people listened to audiobooks, either however they listened to them, they definitely said listen, and now most people or a good half the people I talk to say read. And so and I think that's because, you know, when people read ebooks, that's different from reading a physical book. But it seems like sort of the more, you know, we're using the word read in a different way. And I have a lot of folks who say they read audiobooks. And so you can, in fact, read while you're driving.
All right.
Only when you're out of range of Wisconsin Public Radio, though, I should say.
Thank you. You're right. Let's go to Mary in Madison. Hi, Mary.
Yeah. Hello. Two comments. One comment and a question. What I find most profound is Keats and Isvin and Blake. And I was wondering, I came across Ingrid Bergman in The Visit. It's a movie, but it's based on a German play. And I was wondering if you knew it. It was something like The Old Woman of... And it's by, I don't know anything more about it, and I wish you could tell me.
I'm not sure I know anything about it.
I was thinking we were doing poetry, and then we swung into theater.
Oh, that's life, isn't it?
It is. Actually, it's every day in our lives, isn't it? No, someone might be able to let us know on Facebook or something.
Yeah. I love poetry, too. Poetry is... It's good to read poetry.
Do you have a poetry book on your list? Or what if you had not enough books, not enough room on the list for
Yeats,
poetry?
It's Yeats.
It would be Yeats. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually have a poetry book on my list, too. It's hard
you
to
do?
Believe.
Oh, what
I
is
really,
it?
I don't.
Oh, good for you. What is it?
Well, I didn't really want to have too much fiction, and because I just felt it's just too hard for me. There's very few books that I reread. It's not classic. It's actually a contemporary book, but it's one of the few books that I've reread, and it is actually a novel in verse. It's called The Golden Gate by Vikram Seth.
The Golden Gate.
And it's the man who wrote A Suitable Boy, which was the 1,300-page book. And there's supposedly the Suitable Girl coming out. He just got lost his original publisher because he couldn't make the deadline for the 1,200-page book. But it's about a friendship, two men in the 1980s, and it's completely written in sonnet form, in perfect sonnet. And I read it once. I wept and wept and wept, you know, laughed and cried, that kind of thing. And then I read it like 5 years later, and I had the same – I knew what was coming this time. It was just a weird thing, and I just started weeping again. And I mean, there's something – it's interesting about our experiences. I mean, whatever it is, whether you're reading books or watching movies or something like that, it's very cathartic to cry.
Yeah, it It is, isn't it?
And it's just, you know, I love the idea of the beautiful thing about poetry is that you have the structure that's so intricate and then the emotion that's so raw and you kind of put them together. So.
Yeah. I agree. KP, you have to give me your book, too. I don't know if you're listening to me, but we need KP's book as well. Joe. Oh, Joe, I like this suggestion, and I love the author from Harper's Ferry. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
I would suggest Catch-22.
Right.
It describes the folly of war and how human ego and our just our perpetuation of ourselves contributes to conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... It's a good book. I read it in high school, and it's the first time I really understood just how foolish war is.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that listening to NPR and WPR and so on is a good way for us to understand each other on different opinions and maybe mitigate this sort of problem.
How true. Thank you, Joe. Yet another reason to listen that I never thought of. I'm with you on Heller's book. I like that book very much, too. It's becoming a classic, don't you think,
Daniel? Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's taught, you know, it's got all, I mean, basically other books are inspired by, I mean, it isn't in public domain, so you can't do Catch-22 through another soldier's eye. You know, you can't be as explicit about using inspiration, but you could certainly see schools certainly teach it. I would say if it was in public domain, people would be reworking it in lots of different ways. That's one of the ways I think of a real classic is it furthers more inspiration and more creative work.
Yeah. You know? We're talking about the best books, recommendations that I've asked Daniel to compile, and I've compiled some that are important books to read during your lifetime that made a big impression on our lives. And we've put those together. And for everybody who pledges this hour, we wanted to give you a thank you, too. So we're sending you a list of those books, and I hope that you'll follow through on some of those recommendations. And you're giving us recommendations this hour, so it's terrific. And the pledges are coming in, Daniel. Don't you worry. All right? Our number for on-air participation is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Thank you, Joe, for that suggestion. Laura in Madison, hi.
Hi. The comments your guest was making earlier about children's books and about Mark Twain books really is a great segue for the book I wanted to recommend. And it's something Chapter a Day read years ago, and it's by a Wisconsin author. And it's called The Land Looker by William Stoiber.
Okay.
S-T-E-U-B-E-R. I don't know if it's in print anymore. I had to get it from Amazon, but it's a great book about a lot of things, but kind of I think it should be taught in middle schools and high schools. It's about a teenage boy in 1871 whose father owns a harness factory in Chicago, and his father sends him and his older brother by themselves to the wild territories of Wisconsin to try to drum up more business for the family's harness business. And it's a great coming-of-age story where this boy, you know, is going off having to rely on his own resources, and you learn so much about Wisconsin history. They learn, they're there for the Great Peshtigo Fire, for instance. They watch the slaughter of passenger pigeons. He learns about the positive sides and the dark sides of business.
All right, great. I don't want to cut you short, but I have to, Laura, because all that we have to do this hour, The Land Looker is the name of the book, and we thank you so much. We're almost at the end, and I hate to, but you'll be back, so I'm not worried. First of all, we want to remind people that tomorrow night at Boswell is going to be a terrific. If you want to imagine the future, go tomorrow night to Daniel has been able to secure the guest that we had yesterday who was with us because he's going to be in Milwaukee, too, Michio Kaku. And it's fascinating. And it's at what time tomorrow?
It starts at 7. We're telling people to get there between 6 and 6:15.
Okay.
I think we'll hit capacity. So
I think you will, too. You should.
We should be set up by 5
all
for
right.
folks.
Yeah. All right. And Daniel has – we didn't get to all of our lists. I only got to one of mine, actually. But for everybody who pledges this hour, Daniel has put – I can tell by what you came up with, Daniel. Thank you. A really good list. You know, it was thoughtful. And I have books, and John is going to give us a book, and KP, Maybe two? John, well, all right. John's going to give us two books. And KP has to give us a book? He didn't do that. Oh, he will. And so many of you have called in. I'm sorry. We just got to do something else. But go to our Facebook page and write down these suggestions. Thank you. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Daniel, thank you, as always. It's great to see you. John Munson is here in our studios. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. And I hope you know that your listening and your gift makes a huge difference. It makes WPR possible. So step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift. It's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kathleen, this is fantastic news. We have made our goal. We've surpassed it for the hour,
everybody.
But don't let that stop you. Join the bandwagon effect right now. It's bandwagon effect. So everybody jump on. Your pledge helps pay for programs you count on all year long. Thank you if you've already given. And if you haven't, well, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation about books. We talk about them frequently. We interview authors frequently. They're frequently my favorite programs. This is just an example of what we have done for years and years and years now.
Well, you know, it is. I love books. I take books everywhere. I take books to the grocery store.
Reader,
you know,
right.
I mean, it's crazy.
What's your favorite? Are you going to tell us?
See, favorite and must read before you leave the planet could be two things.
All right.
Okay. Favorite all-time book is Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And I have a copy with me on this trip.
You do?
Yeah. And I've read it like 30 times.
Oh, John.
But book everybody should read before they leave the planet is Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by William Shirer. I read it when I was in seventh grade, and that was the first serious book I read. Really stuck with me.
All right, good.
You can have Ulysses. Sorry. Hey, take a few minutes this hour to make programs like this and many more hours. I'm going to get mail about that now. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every pledge is appreciated, and we're thanking you with a list of these important books to read. Every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. Ask for the list of books to read while you're on this earth, compiled by Boswell Books, Daniel Golden, and me, and John and KP, as your thank you gift. When you give a gift of any amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Karen Reinhart from Fort Atkinson. I've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio for nearly 25 years now, and it is really my source of news, of issues and topics of the day. It has meant everything to me, so much so that when I leave Wisconsin to visit my family on the East Coast, I go through withdrawals. I'm so happy to have Wisconsin Public Radio in my life.
I'm on.
Yes, you are.
I thought you were on.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, it's my turn. Here we go.
Okay.
Please, you're right. Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. Get that book list, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Whether your pledge is $5 a month, $100, we really do appreciate each gift. And to tell you the truth, we count on your gift.
Well, you know what? I have to say this because we're going to run out of time if I don't. I want to read this comment and then use that to lead into something else. Char from Appleton says, Kathleen Dunn shows are fantastic. I look forward to them. I look forward to them as well because Kathleen is probably the most prepared talk show host I've ever worked with.
Oh, thank you, John.
And the amount of work that she does for 2 hours of programming every afternoon is really something else. And when she comes on the air, she knows what she's talking about, and her questions make sense, and it's always a great show. You know, you don't get a show like this anywhere else. Kathleen Dunn only works for Wisconsin Public Radio, and this show is possible because pledge by pledge, you make it happen on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So please, show your support right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
Help pay for the programs that you depend on, and we're looking for as many pledges as we can get. We're very happy to send you that book list. We only have about 30 seconds left, and then through the news, too. So make your donation, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. John Munson, thank you for being with us. It's always a delight to have you here, and thanks to Daniel Golden for keeping the book alive and so many important conversations. You know, I love this. I had a really good time. Thanks, everybody. It was a good hour. Pledge now. Get the book list. You'll be happy you did. It's 888-202-2552, WPR.org. Thanks to Daniel Golden from Boswell Books for being with us. Thanks to John Munson. And thanks to K.P. Whaley. K.P. will have his favorite book as well on this list that we are going to send to you. And thanks for listening. We'll be with you again.